So we interviewed and did focus groups with about 300 millennials. And it became very evident that millennials would say that you can work for a dollar, $2 less an hour if I was safe on the job. And that came up, you know, very unscripted, unprompted, many, many times. So to me, it showed that health and safety was of utmost importance to young people. And then secondly, we also figured out pretty quickly that kids make a decision in grade 7 or 8 what career path they want to go down. They start thinking at a much younger age than really what the education system previously was built upon.
So the big question is this: how do you elevate the status of the skilled trades today so the next generation of workers will be able to close the talent gap tomorrow? That's the question, and this podcast is on a mission to find the answers. Welcome to Inside the Trades. We're your mission guides, Matt Consigli and Derek Cameron. As we research and learn more about the skilled trades for this podcast, the common theme keeps coming up: the remarkable work that Canada and the province of Ontario have put into education, policy reforms, and partnerships to bring more people into this field. And when we asked our Canadian friends how so much is happening so quickly, they all pointed to the same person, Minister of Labour and Immigration, Monty McNaughton. Well, we're leaving no stone unturned and called in some favors to bring you a very special guest this week, Minister McNaughton himself. We're excited to hear directly from him about various initiatives the Ford Ministry is undertaking and how they're just getting started. Our goal for every episode is to come out of these discussions with some information and ideas that can benefit all communities, and we think the minister has a lot to offer here. So hit that follow button and share this episode with your friends who can benefit from hearing these words. Thanks for listening. Let's get into it. All right, welcome back to another episode of Inside the Trades. Your host here, Derek Cameron, and who picked a really bad week to travel? Matt Consigli, because we have an incredible guest in the show this today. None other than the Minister of Labor and Immigration for the province of Ontario, Canada, Monty McNaughton. Minister, how are you now?
Great to be on with you this morning, Derek. Great way to start the week.
Yeah, I'm excited. You got a pretty busy slate too, because you are over at Skills Ontario immediately following this or at some point within the course of the day and checking in on that.
Yeah, going to be spending the next couple of days at the skills competition, as well as our agency that oversees the apprenticeships, Skilled Trades Ontario, is going to be having a summit where they're going to bring a number of tradespeople and employers together to discuss the trades here in Ontario.
That's a good place for us to start the conversation, because our show is geared towards kids. We're using proxies, though. We're using teachers and parents because, as we discovered, kids don't listen to podcasts. But our push is trying to get more kids interested into the trades. I know that has been a very big initiative of yours. Can you just, let's start with that and how you're envisioning and how young you're looking to go with the programming and initiatives you're pushing through Ontario?
Absolutely. This is a big week in Ontario for the skilled trades. There's about 40,000 people that are going to go to the skills competition, including the Premier of Ontario, who's going to open the event tomorrow. And I'll be there as well, and a number of my other colleagues. But we're really trying to send this message that not every young person has to go to university to be successful in life. Careers in the skilled trades are meaningful. They're well-paying. You can build a family around. As Premier Ford often says, if you have a career in the trades, you have a career for life. So it's really about ending the stigma around the trades and just sending that message that these are great career opportunities for young people.
Oh, they 100% are. And something that you had talked about in your interview with Nick Tuntas, friend of the pod, was that you can also be a business owner. And that is another career path that we are very big on through our show, because we didn't want everyone to be limited to, you just have to work for somebody. You can actually hang your own shingle and run your own business. And that was something that was music to our ears when I heard that.
Absolutely. And I got to give Nick a shout out. What an amazing inspiration. Yeah. I mean, Nick Senior and Nick Junior, both in the trades. Love those two. And they're doing great work, I mean, to promote these careers. Yeah, that's one of the benefits of getting into the skilled trades. You can start your own business, hire other people. Here in Canada, you can work from coast to coast to coast.
So one of the things that we look for on the show is we search out everywhere to find places that are doing things right. And through our friends up in Canada, we've heard a lot of great things coming through your ministry, the Ford ministry, and how you're putting a concerted push and also putting the resources into growing the skilled trades. So taking some of these lessons, what are some of the mechanics or framework that you've put together to build this coalition and to build this initiative that is actually seeing take root? Because we've seen a lot in a very short period of time. Could you walk through some of the mechanics that went into that and some of the strategic elements?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, back in June of 2019, Premier Ford asked me to become Ontario's Minister of Labor. And it was at that point where, you know, we really got focused on reforming the apprenticeship system and promoting these amazing career opportunities. So I would say there's two elements to it. Number one, back here at home, I spent the first 100 days meeting with over 100 labor leaders to, you know, meet with these private sector unions, many of these in the skilled trades, to really build those relationships. I also met with employers, those people that are hiring people in the skilled trades, just to really listen and figure out a path forward. Secondly, our ministry also looked at doing a bunch of research. So we interviewed and did focus groups with about 300 millennials. And it became very evident that millennials would say that you work for $1 or $2 less an hour if I was safe on the job. And that came up, you know, very unscripted, unprompted, many, many times. So to me, it showed that health and safety was of utmost important to young people. And then secondly, we also figured out pretty quickly that kids make a decision in grade 7 or 8 what career path they want to go down. They start thinking at a much younger mm-hmm. age than really what the education system previously was built upon. So that's why, you know, we introduced the skilled trades at a much younger age. We send recruiters into every grade 9 high school across the province to really compete head on with university recruiters to talk about the pathways into the trade. So everything that I've done and our government's done around the skilled trades is based on really three pillars: ending the stigma around the trades, simplifying the apprenticeship system, hence why we launched Skilled Trades Ontario, one-stop shop for all apprenticeship registrations and other issues. And then thirdly, encourage employers to hire apprentices, because we know employers play a key role. So that's, you know, really what everything's been built upon. And you're right, we're spending literally $1.5 billion over a few years to encourage people to get into the trades.
Yeah, that seems like an incredibly wise investment of resources. Now, on the education side of that, and you certainly don't have to speak to that ministry, are there cross-collaborative initiatives that are going on there that are helping inform the curriculum and other programming that goes in to getting the hands-on knowledge or just implementing some of the learning that is aligned with trades or hands-on work into the classrooms, like going younger and younger?
Absolutely. I mean, I work with my colleague, Minister Lecce, who's the Minister of Education here in Ontario. You know, to his credit, to the government's credit, last September, for the first time ever, we're introducing the skilled trades as early as grade 1. So every elementary student's going to be learning about tech careers and skilled trades careers. Starting in 2024, it'll be mandatory in Ontario in high school that you have to take a tech program or a tech course in high school. So, you know, it's really great to see what's happening. One of the training programs I did, we partnered with a machining association, and we're putting literally into high schools across the province new equipment for kids to learn on, because we often think about construction trades, but there's actually more than 140 different ones to choose from. So it's all about, you know, promoting all of the different career opportunities in the trades. And I think starting in schools is the most important place we can start.
No, you got my vote on that one. And on the technology side, too, it is getting far more advanced than anybody can really fathom right now, especially when it's on the HVAC side or even on the medical side, where you have medical technicians using incredibly advanced technology. You've got VR headsets for welding simulators. So it's out there. So anybody that wants to geek out or embrace the technical side, I mean, it's sky's the limit for you at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's incredible to see what's happening in the trades, not only here in Ontario, but I'm sure everywhere else. I mean, I met with the operating engineers and, you know, they're teaching crane operators with VR equipment now. I go up to Northern Ontario where we're going to be mining critical minerals for electric vehicles. And that's how they're teaching people. So it's quite fascinating.
It is. And that's what I was hoping, that we could use some of those avenues to be able to get kids' attention that, hey, there's a whole world out there for you. Now, speaking on the technical side of this, and this has been something that's a growing interest on my part, and I'm trying to get a bigger push down this way, is really connecting aerospace and just space exploration with the trades. Because for every astronaut and for every mission commander and everyone in the control room, you've got an army of plumbers, welders, electricians, pipe fitters. All of the trades are feeding into this one. I just wanted to get your thoughts on how you would view something like that from a government perspective.
I think that's fascinating. Anything we can do to pique the interest of young people is important. We haven't announced it yet, but we are going to be doing a partnership with the aerospace industry here in Ontario this year to recruit more young people into those professions and into those trades. So stay tuned for that one. But yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Oh, that's music to my ears. And did you just drop an exclusive on the show? Because I mean,
pretty close with no details, but we stayed very high level.
Well, we won't hold you to any of the details at this point, but that's fantastic to hear, because especially too, where there's a big push too in the U.S. for getting, you know, the Mars mission accomplished in the next 20 years, getting shot up into the moon over the next like 5 to 10 years. So there's just needs to be an entire army of people that can feed into that on the manufacturing side, on the testing side, and just on the building and the maintenance side, especially when you've got companies like SpaceX that are using reusable rockets. I mean, those things come landing down. I mean, somebody's got to go in there and fix them and update them and repair them. And we need as many people as we can to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I got to put a plug in. They just announced the Canadian that's going to be going on the next mission to the moon. So we're pretty excited. He's actually from a small town called Elsecraig, Ontario. It's actually in my riding that I represent. Definitely proud of him. And he's from a small town just outside of London, Ontario, and southwestern Ontario.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love hearing that. The space angle is something that I just found is a no-brainer, because it really forces people to think boldly and to just have very big ambitions. And then making that connection, be like, oh, I can get into the trades too through this angle. So I wanted to talk to, so your ministry has been active, and it seems like you just are a person that just is not staying still. I mean, every time I look on screen or seeing your Twitter feed or pulling up YouTube, you are somewhere, whether it be at a manufacturing plant, signing an immigration agreement with Philippines or just showing up at a burger joint. How have you found that the shoe leather has helped you get the constituents buy-in and also getting the word out?
Yeah, look, it's everything. You have to be on the ground with people. And that's how, you know, you learn some of the barriers that are out there. One of the things I'm most proud of is recently we introduced legislation called Working for Workers 3 in Ontario. And starting on July the 1st, we're bringing in new standards for washrooms on construction sites. And it was hearing from female apprentices who would tell me time and time again that they would have to leave job sites for the local coffee shop, Tim Hortons here. Yeah. And to me, it's an injustice. We actually launched a Ministry of Labor inspection blitz, and we went to 1,800 job sites in the month of February. And we found about 250 violations. But it wasn't that, you know, the washrooms were unclean. I mean, there was obviously some of that, or there was a door missing or a side missing. But in a lot of cases, we found that there weren't even washrooms on construction sites when they were required. So we're moving forward now with bringing in new regulations, pretty tough standards, but we have 600,000 people that work in the trades and construction, and they deserve a better. But it was, you know, that time spent going to job sites, speaking with female apprentices or, you know, journey persons that have been in the trades for decades and hearing, you know, that these standards are terrible. And so that's what I do. I mean, I listen and we try to resolve problems as quickly as possible.
Well, that was one of the things that stood out when I was looking through some of the initiatives that were coming out through the Ford ministry is just there are a lot of very seemingly unsexy things that have an incredible effect. The bathroom one was one that stood out. The other one is the second chance program. And I know that the U.S. does have programs like sort of in pockets, and there are a lot of people that are working at second chance programs. I thought it was fantastic because you've got somebody that's done their time and you're trying to cut down a recidivism, but you're also giving another avenue in for growing the trades force. Could you talk about just how that came to be and how you're implementing that?
Absolutely. I'm really excited about that. Look, I've taken an all hands on deck approach to resolving labor shortages. You know, it's about training and upskilling people that are here. We have a large indigenous population that we're, you know, working to get trained in the skilled trades. Females and other underrepresented groups, we're trying to appeal to them to come into the trades. And then the Second Chances program, which we recently announced, it is the single biggest way we can end the cycle of poverty and incarceration. And the stats are really, you know, mind-blowing to me. 15 years after someone has supposedly paid their debt to society and served time in prison or whatever that penalty was, half of them are on social assistance 15 years later. The other thing is anyone who has a criminal record, and there's a million people in Ontario, most are petty and nonviolent crimes, but nearly half of them can't get a second interview. So it's a large population. We have 300,000 jobs going unfilled. We really have to seize this opportunity to encourage employers to step up and give people a second chance. And, you know, I've met so many people who had issues some decades ago, but they're still paying a price. So we're working to lift them up, and I think we're going to have a lot of great success.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that you're mentioning the all hands on deck, because this is exactly what it's going to take to get. I mean, just down here, I mean, we've got our entire infrastructure. There's a huge push for green initiatives that we need more electricians for solar projects. So, and we've got, I mean, I'm not sure what the retirement age or what the average age is for your skilled trades folks up there, but, you know, we're pushing 40s and 50s down in the U.S.
Well, here in Ontario, one in three journey persons is over the age of 55. And the average age of an apprentice is about 29 or 30 in Ontario. The changes we're making, we would like to have, you know, journey persons by sort of 20 to 22. So it's a big shift in the system. We talked in the very beginning about, you know, looking at other jurisdictions. I went about 5 years ago as a Minister of Infrastructure in the first year of Premier Ford's government to Germany. And I saw just the great work they're doing around the skilled trades. And another jurisdiction that's really good and starts at a much younger age is the UK. So I think it's about, you know, getting the best ideas and implementing them. And that's what we're doing.
No, that's fair. And it's kind of nice to be able to have the international angle where you can go over and visit some of these other countries and learn what they're doing from a much closer perspective. Because I wanted to ask you, Tom, and I certainly don't want to diss the U.S. I mean, there are some incredibly hardworking, diligent people that are doing things down here. I guess where my concern more lies more on is just from the government perspective on this one is it just doesn't seem to be a connection or a major push. Not asking you to speak to that one. What I would like to hear is, if there are folks down in the U.S. that you've worked with that you're seeing have been innovators and forward thinkers and really pushing this issue and doing great things. And my next thing is I'm going to try to get them on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I had the honor back last summer in August to go to La Yuna's conference down in California. I went to one of their training centers to see the innovative training that they're doing there. So, I mean, I can speak to, you know, some of the work that they're doing, the great stuff down there to encourage people from underrepresented groups to get into the trades. A lot of the marketing to young people. So certainly can help you out with some names from that group. I would say that, you know, a lot of our work has been, you know, just meeting with those employers, seeing what they need, working with our labor partners here, the education system. We made a conscious decision as a government to promote the skilled trades. I've been critical of governments in the past, regardless of their political stripe, but they've,
sure,
you know, told everybody for decades that you have to go to university. It's the only way to be successful. Yeah. And there couldn't be anything further from the truth. And, you know, it's working because last year, our apprenticeship registrations were up by about 25% year over year. And female apprenticeship registrations are up 30% year over year. So there's literally thousands of more people in formal apprenticeships today than 12 months ago. So we're making headway. But keep in mind, we need 100,000 people in the next 10 years in the trade. So we've got a lot of work to do.
I know. I was going to ask you about KPIs and timelines. So you're looking for about 100,000 people that are coming in over the next 10 years.
Yeah, it's a big, it's a monumental task. Now, we are making big progress. Of course, it takes time. I mean, a lot of the changes we're making in the education system is going to take time to work through, but we are making a difference. I mean, I feel it on the ground when I'm talking to parents back in my own area that I represent. Like, they're talking to me about the trades and how they're talking to their kids. And I mean, I hear that from others as well, that, you know, there's a real sense of momentum on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the public-private partnerships and the NGOs that are really all working in concert. I mean, I got to give shout outs to Angela Caldwell at Honor the Work, and then Jennifer Green for the skills competitions, and our friend Nick as well, really pushing things. And Jamie McMillan up at Kick-Ass Yes. Careers, or formerly Kick-Ass Careers, but you've got some incredible advocates that are outside, and there just seems to be a great cohesion between the government as well as these efforts.
Yeah, I mean, incredible champions of the trades here. Really proud of each and every one of them. They truly are amazing. One of the, you know, single biggest successes that we've had, we launched during the pandemic, literally in the first number of months, something called the Skills Development Fund. And it was to seek innovative training projects from labor unions, from trade associations, from employers. And they can work in partnership with colleges or private career college. But we've been able to train in about 2 years or 2.5 years, 400,000 people. And we funded 388 projects out of the Skills Development Fund. So, I mean, I could sit here for a half an hour and talk about some of the really cool projects we've done. But I remember one, we partnered with the IBEW up in Northern Ontario. They trained 600 Indigenous peoples to get started in the electrical careers. We've worked with Layuna down in the Sarnia area near Port Huron, that border, to train about 60 people from local First Nations reserves. Half of them were women. And one of the barriers in that specific project was people couldn't get to and from the training center or to and from the job site. So we funded a little shuttle bus, and we hired one of the participants, Sarah, to drive that bus. And over the course of the training, she picked the participants up. She dropped them off at night. 100% of them completed their apprenticeship, and they're on the pathway to a great career. So, you know, it's about removing those barriers as well. But the Skills Development Fund has been incredibly successful. And I would recommend that to any government anywhere, because it really seeks that innovative training. It's not government saying this is how you should do it. You come to us with solutions.
Yeah, I mean, that just seems like an incredible allocation of dollars. And that's something that I'm glad that you were able to share, because that these are things that I would love to see trickle down, or the folks that are doing this through the government down in the U.S., how we can bring those stories to light and elevate those and try to get more people plugged into that. Now, I know your time's short here, so before I let you go, I've got a couple of hard-hitting questions for you. You're a burger man, and Where's the next Monty's Burger Tour taking you?
Well, believe it or not, Nick Tuntis owes me a burger, because we had a bet on the Toronto Maple Leafs series. And of course, the Leafs won. He thought they were going to lose. So Nick owes me a burger. So I'm leaving that one to Nick. I'm hoping I get one of his homemade burgers.
And see if he can get you to make the homemade Snickers too. The homemade Snicker protein bars. And it looked pretty good. So I think you should hit him up for that one.
Well, you know, I'm Scottish. And maybe I'll get Nick to do a deep fried Mars bar.
Amen. If it's not Scottish, it's crap.
Exactly.
So amen to that. Well, Minister, it has been a joy. And I already invited myself up to Nick's house, too. So hopefully we can coordinate a little dinner there. Maybe a little deep fried Mars bar, Snickers, and a couple of burgers. Because I would love to get up there and meet face to face with all you folks. I'm just incredibly impressed with the work and the diligence and just the love that you've all put into this. And I would love to be able to replicate that down here. And you've just been incredible friends and advocates really appreciate everything you've done.
Well, great. My door is always open. If you ever need anything, let me know. And would love to run into you with Nick and other sheet metal workers in London, Ontario for a burger.
Yeah, amen to that. I appreciate that. Well, I wish you the best at the Skills Ontario competition this week and everything else you get going on. And see you out there on the burger trail.
Awesome. Thanks for all you do.
Minister, be well. Thank you so much.
Thank you.